We're all here, I guess. Ready to go? Okay, can I have a motion, please, for the adoption of the agenda?
I will so move.
Cormac. Senator?
Okay.
All in favor?
Yay.
Okay, and a motion for the approval of the minutes.
Okay, I'll do that one. There we go.
Senator?
Sure.
All right. Yay.
Yay.
All right, we'll move on to the business arising from the minutes. First item is the metal benches. Update on the metal benches installation. Tom, do you have something on that?
Yeah, and so I've got updates on each one of these items. And,
okay.
September 21st, the benches were installed. And and the town realizes there was one that one bench location that didn't get replaced. Not sure if the town's actually going to replace it, but there's still a wooden bench in behind the Crown Mansion. And I believe the intent is to replace that with one of these new metal ones. And then we'll discuss the Hemsworth proposal. That comes up under item 4B down below.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll get to that. So yeah, okay. Metal benches are happening.
Okay.
Are they really, really well secured? Because there have been metal thefts, you know, this.
Yeah, so what they do is they actually install a concrete pad and then they're actually bolted, you know, with great big bolts. And so I suppose somebody could steal them, but they'd have to really work at it.
Yeah, and it probably would be a noisy process, so somebody would notice.
Yeah, the barred owls would probably wake up and start hooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so that's all happening.
Okay, do you want to continue on with those items then, Tom? You've got some...
Sure, yeah, you okay. Bet. So the You Are Here maps, I've been speaking with Tony Botello. He's with Parks, and he's actually the town arborist. And Tony used to be the contact for the forest. Anyway, he's back. And anyway, he has spoken to the internal IT people with the town, and they believe that they're going to be able to produce new maps with the UR here internally soon, is basically all Tony was saying. So that's good. The concrete barriers, I spoke with Luke Sales. There's two concrete barriers at the end of Hemsworth where it meets Chester, and it sort of looked like they just kind of got dumped there, but in fact, the town maintenance folk, they left them there specifically to prevent people from backing the truck up and dropping off yard waste along the banks of Beach Creek.
Good idea, so, then.
Yeah, so they stay.
Okay.
They're serving a purpose.
Okay.
And it was, and just so we're clear, it was Daphne and Dennis that live right there. That's their property. They raised it with me and had asked if I could ask the town about them. Because originally it looked like they were just kind of forgotten or just sort of left behind.
Okay.
Well, that's okay. The wildlife tree snag, the new sign, Brandy, I changed the wording on that a little bit and then sent it out to you, yesterday. I don't know if, are you there, Brandy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you see that email with the attachments?
I did, and I printed it off.
Well, maybe even after the meeting, you could fire that out to the members.
For sure.
Because it's just that, so the society has approved the cost to produce the sign, but what we need from the town is the approval to fund staff people or whatever to install. And that item comes up under 5-3-A down below. So we'll get a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, the wording on the sign, I think, is good. I had Terry Taylor, who's, you know, quite an expert, review it. And, anyway, I think it's probably a good thing to do. And again, the society has approved the cost. The Hamsworth Trail and the tree planting, I've been doing some calling around. A couple of the neighbors over here were suggesting that perhaps we could keep to native species. And so was over there looking a few times, just thinking about natives. And Gary Oak and Pacific Dogwood would be a couple. And I ran it by a few folk over here. And then I called basically all the local nurseries to see what they had. And it's kind of an availability thing. This is probably going to be a spring project. I was talking with Tony Patello again about this. In fact, I met him over there. And there apparently is some grant money that they can tap into for the trail and the tree planting. And so that would be January, February. Excuse me, they'd be looking into the grant money. So anyway, that's probably a spring project.
Tom, can I ask you a question?
You bet.
As an arborist, will there be any potential negative impact on the existing forest from the trees that are going to be planted there?
Well, in fact, back when Luke and I were talking about that it might be a positive impact in terms of our Western Red Cedar are going through a dieback with drought. And so putting up kind of a row of trees along there would afford them some shade. I don't think the Western Red Cedar there are in any danger. Like we've got this pretty high water table here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think those trees are under threat from summertime drought and that kind of stuff. But what we thought of is, they're going to afford a little bit of shading in the summertime, and maybe along that edge, maybe that's a good thing.
Okay.
The one thing that would get impacted is the non-native Himalayan blackberry.
Oh, they're everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. All along that fence line. And they are non-native. And so because of that, who cares?
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yep. Thank you.
Some of the local berry pickers might care.
Yeah.
Because it's popular, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. I guess that's about it. So yeah. So Tony Botello, he's looking into grant money. And it's on the books for them. And so I'll keep asking, and it sounds like it's going to happen.
Okay.
It just depends on what species. And so I think about it when I drive through Parksville and drive around, you know, different places in Qualicum, and there's a lot of non-native species that have been introduced. For instance, Eastern Canada has a real problem right now with Norway maple. It was a species that was selected for urban forestry, and it's not doing so well. And they've got a real problem in some of their parks. Actually, the mountain in Montreal actually is full of Norway maple, and it's not doing very well. So native makes sense, but it also needs to match the site.
Tom, a question on that. Gary Oak tends to grow in fairly dry places.
Yeah.
The Hemsworth is wet, so can they tolerate having their feet wet?
Well, there's kind of a mixed bag in there. There's a low wet area between Namqua and Ilqua that out there today, there'll be puddles and stuff over there. Dogwood likes to get their feet wet. So if we kind of thought about, you know, site selection, what species go where, and there is a rise in topography along there. And there's actually arbutus down off the end of dogwood, which are a dry species, and there is a pine there as well. So I think what we'd have to do is if it was, say, a Gary Oak consideration, is just to think specifically about some of the micro topography considerations in there.
Thanks.
Okay. So are we ready to move on to number four?
Sure.
Business?
Mm-hmm. So Heritage Forest Housekeeping.
Yeah.
The one big thing, in fact, I talked to Tony Botello just yesterday. Again, he's the town arborist. And so with climate change, we're getting much stronger winds. And for instance, on the October 16th, we had the big storm and the three very large trees blew down with the winds coming from a westerly direction. So the Hemsworth Gate gets hammered with the southeast winds, and the East Crescent Gate gets hammered with the southeast winds. And in both locations, we've had for a few years now, quite a few trees coming down with periods of high wind. So I went in there with Tony and flagged with green flagging. If you go in there, you'll see the green flags of some snags, especially dead alder at the East Crescent Gate that are going to blow down anyway. And a few at the Hemsworth Gate. There's quite a little tangle now of debris at the Hemsworth Gate, and that needs to come out of there. You know, with the houses quite close by there, if there ever was a fire, I mean, it's just a heap of debris. And so Tony has had a contractor go in and have a look, and he hasn't received the quote back from them as of yesterday. And, but the town is on it. They wanted to get their chipping program done first, because they're going to bring the chipper over, especially on that, Hemsworth Gate. And they're going to chip, a bunch of that small stuff and get it out of there.
Okay.
So that's a good thing. And yeah, so the winds are getting bigger. Like if you look, or getting stronger, like if you, there's a real history of wind throw in there, and you can always gauge the direction of the winds looking at the root wad in relation to the crown. And so the southwest to west is where you get the really damaging winds, like the really strong winds, like a couple of years ago, December 20, that was from the southwest. So in other words, coming over from Port Alberni.
Yeah.
And the regular old rain, just kind of ricochets and runs up parallel to Vancouver Island from the southeast. And that's what hits Hemsworth and East Crescent.
Okay.
So that's happening. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So here's four. Sorry.
I was going to ask a question. It's a little bit related. Is have we ever had signs of people attempting to camp in there? And obviously, like I got my Times columnist this morning and there's some notes about Whiskey Creek. And apparently in that single area, they have 380 campers. So the chances of somebody popping up at some point in town, it's not unforeseeable. So do we have a way to deal with that quickly before it turns into something big?
Well, okay. A couple of things. I get reports. There was a couple of guys camping, and I don't know if it's a known thing or if they just figure it out, but in the grassy area in the middle and the open meadow, it's not a homeless kind of a person situation. It's people with nice gear and I don't know, maybe they're heading for the West Coast or something. But as far as the homeless, we have had homeless people camping in there.
And so what happens that somebody
goes out? Well, okay. So by law, That's 8 to 4:30. Weekends off. And so, yeah, they're gone, you know, first thing in the morning. And there was a situation on the end of Chester. Someone had been sleeping in their car. This is a couple of months ago. I got a hold of Dawn. And, of course, they're gone, you know, by the time Dawn starts his day. And so it is posted. No camping.
No camping.
Right? A little kind of a quirk, too, is like a few years ago, you know, Victoria had this explosion of people sleeping around downtown. And then, you know, they started allowing them to stay in the parks. Well, the interesting little stipulation with that forest is it's not a park. It's a forest. And so I don't know how the provincial bylaw or whatever it would be would apply to that, because in parks, yeah, you need to let people sleep there from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and then go in and pick up the needles after, before the kids show up. But that clearly, that conservation covenant, it has designated that area as a forest. So I actually, a few years ago, a lady really came on to me in the forest and was just hammering away at me about how we should designate an area in that forest for homeless people to camp.
Oh, no, thank you, no.
No. I said, hey, there's just no way that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's a giant can of worms, you know.
Oh, my God. And then you can't get them out of there. But I think, I don't know, we may have a little wrinkle because of the conservation covenant with this designation of a forest, not a park. I don't know.
So maybe the trick is to keep on top of it, like Don is doing when he can, to make sure that nothing gets established. Because I think once you get one or two, you get five, you know, and it goes from there. And we also have Chrysalton Park in our area, which is another issue, because that's would be a mighty fine place to camp.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, and so what Don had said too is, in future, don't call him, call the RCMP.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they have to be breaking a law for the RCMP to get in it. And so which law are they breaking?
I don't know. That's what he told me. And, I think because he's 8 to 4:30 with weekends off, that if there's something going on, you know, other than that, which is when people would be seen, call the RCMP. And I don't know how fast they would be, but over the years there's been several people you know, sleeping in the forest, and those fires of 2017, I'm convinced they were arson fires. And
yeah,
whether that was, you know, homeless people or what, I don't know. But
Let me jump in there. I just want to briefly touch on the RCMP's relationship with the town. So
okay.
the RCMP will step in to help enforce town bylaws. And because of the fact that the no camping signs are clearly posted, they will come in and move people on if they're alerted of the situation. Now, certainly I'd always tell people to call the non-emergency line, you know, just because it's not a life or death situation, and, you know, reducing the load on 911, but they are prepared to respond. They come to everything from, you know, homeless camping or just camping to noise complaints, right? Yeah. We try to be respectful of their time, but they do act on behalf of the town when our bylaw officer is not available.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't seem like it's a big problem in there. Like, you know, maybe twice over the course of a summer or something, there'll be a report of somebody in there, and they're gone in the morning. Like, they're not hanging around.
Yeah. Okay, where are we?
4B.
4B, yeah.
Okay, so that was just the... okay, so a number of the neighbors over here on the Hemsworth side have asked people really like those metal benches. They, you know, they're bigger. They kind of form your back better than the wooden benches. And so a number of folks have asked if there was any possibility for a metal bench along the Hemsworth access trail. And so, you know, that's the request. Luke, what would we put a motion on that?
Yeah, and I think a motion would certainly be the way to take this to the next level. And, you know, it would be something that would have to be forwarded to our budget process, but it's, you know, it's entirely reasonable to consider it. I mean, just generally speaking, whenever we add a bench, we're looking to take out a bench somewhere because we have, you know, lots of benches and, you know, oftentimes they're not very well used and, you know, sometimes they're deteriorating. So there's a few considerations there, but to get it started, absolutely. If it's important to the commission, make a motion with a recommendation to install a new metal bench at that location.
Okay. John, do you want to make that motion?
Sure. And just as an aside, there's some absolutely magnificent places there in terms of scenery and that kind of thing, and to put a bench. And the other thing that the kind of the oldsters say is that they won't necessarily, you know, walk the whole forest. They can't, but they love to go in and find the first bench and then sit there and, you know, kind of enjoy the forest. So so it's probably a good idea. So yeah, so a motion. Well, something in effect of the commission makes recommendation to council to consider and approve funding for a new metal bench to be located along the Hemsworth Forest Trail. Something like that.
Love your ending.
Lost Tom.
Where are we?
I don't know. I'm hearing him.
I can't hear him.
Hi.
Uh-oh. Oh, there you're back, are you?
Well, I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Did you not hear his whole resolution?
No, didn't.
Did Brandy get that?
Yes, they have here.
Okay. Could you read that back?
Yep. Commission recommends the council to consider and approve funding for a new metal bench located along Hemsworth Forest Trail.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for that motion?
Sure. I'll second.
Cormac did.
Okay. All in favor? Yay.
Yay.
Okay. Motion carried. Thank you. Anything further? Let's move on now to the recommendations to council. You've all had an opportunity to read those items. Have any comments, observations on, did you want to make for the record?
I don't have those notes in front of me. Well, here. I kind of forget what those were.
Okay, really, 3A, council motions for information, council motion, A, the motion for the approval of funding to install new wildlife tree snag sign to be provided by the Brown Property Preservation Society and the Heritage Forest to be deferred to a future meeting for discussion about signage.
Oh, yeah.
You have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's on the agenda page.
Yeah. It's on, yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's on the agenda page, yeah.
Yeah. To be deferred to a future meeting.
That's this one.
Yeah.
That's this meeting?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that's yeah.
Well, what's up with that then, Luke? Because we were making a motion to council. And it sort of looks like that's coming back to us.
Can sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was. I think I might have been muted. So.
You're gone. So,
you can't hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking about the wildlife snag or the.
Yeah, the wildlife. The sign.
Yeah. That was an interesting discussion the other day in the council meeting. Honestly, I don't think it was entirely clearly conveyed to council what exactly that snag sign was all about. So what I would suggest is that, Tom, I'm hearing that you just sent some new wording to Brandy.
Yes.
I think it would be appropriate because I haven't seen the wording either. So once I get it, I'll either take it back to council to say, here's the information that you made a recommendation based on partial information. Now that you see what the sign is, can you authorize it? Or it could come back to council. So I'd say leave this one with me for now. Let the current trajectory play out and then we can come and visit this again later. It was a bit unfortunate the other day how it panned out because we didn't have the wording and they weren't exactly sure. They seemed to be under the impression it was wayfinding signage and we explained, no, it's not, but I think it would be helpful to have the actual wording in front of them.
Okay.
Okay. We're all happy with that?
Sure. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. How about B? Any comment on that?
My comment there is that they've basically said yes. They want us to work with you, okay, and so good. Tom is already working with Tony, and that will continue. Uncertainties are, of course, the actual tree planting plan,
right?
But then also how the town can capitalize on grant funding to help, make it right. happen sooner with less impact on taxpayers. So once again, that's also in our hands, and it's moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it for the agenda. Are there any other issues or items that you want to talk about before we adjourn?
Just one, actually two, come to think of it. Three, I guess. Actually, okay, so Brandy, with that email that I'd sent out, it just so happens the BC Ministry of Forests just sent out some information on the white nose syndrome associated with little brown bats. And I thought it would be kind of interesting for the commission to see that. And maybe for the town too, maybe they hadn't seen this info because of course the town has some great bat houses down at the St. Andrews Lodge site. I was down there looking at them recently. And anyway, so there's some interesting info that Brandy will send to you along with the wording for the wildlife tree snag. And it was actually a couple of good reports. By the way, the white nose syndrome has not made it into BC as of yet. So
good.
That's good.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And also too, in the summertime, I see bats flying along Hemsworth here, regularly. If I go out just kind of right at dark sort of thing, there's bats flying up and around. So they're here. One thing is, say Luke at the Chester Gate, there is a pile of household yard waste that's growing. I've been kind of watching it, and somebody is using that as their favorite drop-off spot. In the past, what we've done is just notify the guys, and they come around and pick it up, and it's starting to be a sizable pile.
What about a no dumping sign? Can you have a no dumping sign? I mean, I guess they get ignored.
Yeah, we've got there's no dumping signs all over the place. But the interesting thing about Chester is it's dark in there. And like there's no street lights, and which is good. I mean, nice to not have light pollution. And but it's kind of a dark, concealed, kind of an area. And so I don't know. Somebody's thinking that's a good spot to skulk around.
So, Tom, let me ask a quick question. Have you notified Public Works to have that picked up?
No, I've been watching it over the last I don't know, a couple of weeks, and I was just looking at it the other day, and I thought I would just bring it up at this meeting, but I could get a hold of Al.
Yeah, that would be great. It's better not to let them grow.
Yeah, that's what I was, because then other people will see it and go, oh,
yeah.
Fair game. Okay, I'll send a text to Al. Just the last point I would make is we're missing our counselor again. And so three strikes and you're out. I realize that, you know, there was a local election and our local guy maybe is in kind of limbo now, but this did happen with a previous counselor a couple of years ago. And, you know, the bylaw is with any member of the commission, it's kind of three strikes and you're out. So it would be great if we could have a counselor attend the commission meetings.
Hello.
I don't know everything.
Luke, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I didn't realize that was a question.
Well, just, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if it's a question or an observation or an issue, but
yeah.
We are supposed to have a counselor, you know, present with the commission. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
Three meetings ago, we didn't have the meeting because the virus was just kicking in. But this would be the third meeting.
So once again, if you'd like to make a recommendation, it might be, it would be appropriate, and it could be something along the lines of that, you know, council requests that when the designated liaison is not available, that another council member attend in lieu or something like that, you know, to sort of gently encourage council participation in these meetings.
Okay. We okay with that?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Very diplomatic.
Okay. Sounds good. You happy with that?
Yeah, and I think one of the things about having, you know, a counselor present for the meeting is because, you know, if we are making recommendations to council, then we've had a counselor, you know, take part in the meeting, and then that person is, you know, pretty clear on what our intent is and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And carrying our message for us, you know.
Yeah.
Directly.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right.
I can't think of anything else.
Anybody else have any other issues you want to get?
I don't think so.
No.
We're good? Okay. Yep. Can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
Yay.
Yep. Okay. Seconder. All in favor?
Yay.
Yay. Thank you all very much.